ages past. Lord God, help us on this day focus entirely on your word. Take all the other things that would be in our heart and mind. Lord God, may your word be eminent in our life. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So 501. What would it have been like to be going on one? So this year we say, okay, last year we had a huge production. We had all these different celebrations of the 500th anniversary. So what do you do on 501? What do you do when all the celebrations are not as big? What do you do when the Reformation seems to be like, well, I know it's a Reformation, but it's just that Sunday before Halloween. What does it really matter? And so as a church body, we ask ourselves, how are we doing at 501? How are we doing when all the celebrations are ending? And so interesting enough is we'll probably need to talk a little bit about that this morning. I have two main points and to look at things. Do you think that Luther was bold in what he did? In his defense of the gospel, standing, it doesn't look like that. That video was basically him in a room before the most powerful people in all of the continent, standing before the guy that could have beheaded him right then and there, and them demanding that he take back all his words. He could have said simply, you know what, it's not even worth it. He could have said, I'll bend to what you want me to. But then again, you know, what do we expect of Luther? What do we know of Luther? What do we look at when we think of Luther? Anyone think of someone bold? Anyone think of someone German? Anyone think of someone stubborn? Yes, I know we're about to transition to who you are, but let's stay on Luther. Let's stay on track. Because interesting enough is that we're talking about what happens after the Reformation. And so we want to talk a little bit of these two points this morning. I only have 2 points for you this morning. 2 points. Number one, abuse of the gospel. Abuse of the gospel. And you really think about, okay, what was Luther really writing about? He was writing about the idea that the church was trying to hold the sins against the people in order to spark really financial gain. Financial gain. And so we take a look at what is the gospel that really means. And Luther started reading Paul's writings in Romans and Galatians, and he was talking about, wait a minute, the gospel is free. God's love is free. Why aren't we telling everyone the gospel is free? And so interesting enough is Luther stands up very boldly and says, you guys need to look at your own words. You see, the gospel is free, and therefore the people are free to go to God themselves. The only problem is Luther brought some really interesting changes to Europe. Instead of living under an umbrella that they had to do something to earn God's love, all of a sudden God's love was free. You didn't need to do anything, and the people were like, well, if I don't need to do anything and it's free and it's always there, that means that I can do whatever I want, and then God's love will always be there for me. So Luther starts going around to the churches, and he starts seeing people on Saturday night. And what do you think he sees on people on Saturday night? Very interesting is I can't quote his German, or I can't quote the English either, because it was very strong. And interesting enough is that he saw the same people out on Saturday night and in church on Sunday mornings. And he says, well, how can this be? And so most of the time we look at this and say, okay, the people understood the gospel. The problem was now they knew how to abuse it. Now they knew how to switch that around. And so Luther started to look at the church that once once held a monopoly on the people, all of a sudden lost that monopoly, and the people said, we don't even need to be in church anymore. We don't need to band together anymore. And so interesting enough is he took a look at also family functionality. Family functionality, that's a tough thing to understand sometimes. Family functionality. He went around and he was looking, okay, people don't have the Bible to teach their young people. They don't have a way in which to take the family and say, let's talk about the Bible. And so Luther came up with two different things. Number one, what do you think he came up with? Small catechism, which you love and adore. If you're 7th and 8th grade, man, you guys just absolutely, yeah, I know, you're frightened of that. Yeah, some of you guys had to memorize the entire small catechism. And then there's the large catechism, which is mainly for adults and really the priests of the time. And so interesting enough is Luther put it back and said, okay, as Lutherans, we believe that it is our obligation as parents, as adults, to teach the younger generation, to bring them up in the faith. And so he gave us these two tools. Luther's not here anymore. Luther's not here anymore. Question is, has the culture of the church changed in 500 years? Do we abuse the gospel? Do we abuse the gospel? Is the gospel there for us as a piggy bank for us in order for this is our lives and this is where we go when we need it? And number two, family functionality. Are we passing along the faith from one generation to the next? Are we doing those two things? And so, interesting enough is, where do we go back to when we say that's not necessarily what's happening? We go back to Luther, what Luther points out, Romans chapter 3, verse 21. If you would, read this with me. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. What does this mean? It means that the gospel is free. Is that God gave us the law. God gave us the shoulds and should nots because he wanted to outline. This is what it means to be holy. Problem is, you cannot be. And that should point us to the gospel. If we cannot do this, if we cannot keep ourselves perfect, we need to look to the one who is. And so that here today, 501 years after the Reformation, we still hold to the same thing Luther taught, is that God's love is free. And that if you are free, what does it mean you are free to do? What does that mean that you are free to do? You are free to live out your Christian faith 7 days a week. The gospel brings you new life so that the gospel is passed on from one person to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. And then we see that, ooh, the gospel is shared around the world. And so this morning, 501 years, you are free. You are free from the law because of what Christ has done for you. You are free to look to Christ for your forgiveness. Let's pray. Lord God, throughout the years, we often forget what it means to be free. We ask you today, just as we're going from one place to the other, Lord, help us never forget that, Lord God, this life means something. Living in you is, it's changed by what you did. Lord God, we ask you as people of God, Lord God, we want to be bold in our faith, Lord, but Lord God, we don't always understand what it means to live out our faith. Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, this gospel is not just for the people in this room, Lord, it is something that, Lord God, it is for the whole entire world. You so loved the cosmos that you gave your only son. Lord God, help us understand that. Help us see that that's a life-changing concept. In your son's name we pray. Amen.